Chapter 12. During their walk the next morning, Marianne told Eleanor the news that Willoughby had given her a horse. Despite all that Eleanor knew of her sister's imprudence, she was surprised that it could go so far. Without considering that it was not in her mother's plan to keep any horse, Marianne had accepted the present without hesitation. She had not thought for one moment about the expenses involved. They would need to build a stable, to employ a servant to look after the horse, and buy another horse for the servant. Eleanor also warned her sister that it was unwise to accept such a gift from a man she had known only a short time.
"You are mistaken, Eleanor," replied Marianne. "I have not known him long, but I know him better than any other creature in the world, except yourself and Mamma." However, eventually Marianne was persuaded not to accept the gift, and told Willoughby of her disappointment. "But Marianne, the horse is still yours," said Willoughby. "I shall keep it for you until you move from here into a more lasting home." Eleanor overheard this, and from that moment did not doubt that Marianne and Willoughby were engaged. The next day, her opinion was confirmed when Margaret told her she had seen Willoughby cut off a lock of Marianne's hair and put it in his pocket. On another evening at Barton Park, Mrs. Jennings pressed Margaret to reveal the name of Eleanor's favourite young man.
"I must not tell, may I, Eleanor?" said Margaret, which of course made everybody laugh, except Eleanor, who could not bear the thought that Edward's name would now become a standing joke with Mrs. Jennings.
"Margaret, you know there is no such person," said Marianne, but her attempt to protect Eleanor had the opposite effect.
"I'm sure there is such a man, and his name begins with an F," exclaimed Margaret. Thankfully for Eleanor, Lady Middleton quickly changed the subject, and they began to talk of their plans for the next day to visit a place called Whitwell, which was owned by a relation of Colonel Brandon's.
Chapter 13. However, the trip to Whitwell did not turn out as expected. The party met at Barton Park for breakfast, during which a letter arrived for Colonel Brandon. He took it, changed colour, and immediately left the room. He returned about 5 minutes later.
"No bad news, Colonel, I hope," said Mrs. Jennings.
"No, it is merely a letter of business, but it means that I must go to town immediately," replied Colonel Brandon, and refused to talk any more about the subject.
"I can guess what his business is, however," said Mrs. Jennings, after Colonel Brandon had left. "It is about Miss Williams, I am sure."
"And who is Miss Williams?" asked Marianne.
"What? Do you not know who Miss Williams is? She is a relation of the Colonel's, a very near relation. We will not say how near, for fear of shocking the young ladies." Then, lowering her voice a little, she said to Eleanor, "She is his natural daughter. I dare say the Colonel will leave her all his fortune."
Instead of going to Whitwell, the party decided to go out into the country in their carriages. Willoughby and Marianne went ahead of the rest and were gone for several hours. When they returned, they seemed delighted with their drive, but talked about it only in general terms. That evening at dinner, Mrs. Jennings turned to Marianne.
"I have found you out, in spite of all your tricks. I know where you spent the morning."
"I hope you like your new house. It is a very large one, I know." Marianne turned away confused, and Mrs. Jennings laughed. Eleanor could hardly believe it to be true, and asked Marianne about it.
"Why should we not go there?" asked Marianne.
"It was not wise to go while Mrs. Smith was there, and with no other companion than Willoughby," replied Eleanor. "And now you will be the subject of Mrs. Jennings' gossip."
"Her opinion means nothing to me," retorted Marianne.
Perhaps it was rather ill-judged of me to go to Allenham. But Willoughby wanted to show me the place. It is a delightful house, she said, and continued to describe it in great detail.